Good morning. I am Micah. Some of you may know me as the son of our good pastor. And I am, of course, a part-time technician in the back. And today, please turn with me to Ephesians 1. We will be reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to chapter 2, verses 10 today. Hey, and that will be on page 917 in the Black Bible. Now, if you do not have a Bible at home, we encourage and we invite you to take the Bible you are holding home. That is our pleasure. And hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, who are faithful to Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be the holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, and for the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works in all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spiritual wisdom and of revelation in your knowledge of him, according to sin, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know that is the hope to which he has called you, which are the riches of his glory, inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And he worked in Christ when he raised him and from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is unnamed, and only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of it, the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together by Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing, it is a gift from God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
If our works don't save us, our work's purpose is to always spread the word of God and to spread his message. We are relational creatures in Christ, which means, of course, that we were made to work and be together, not just by ourselves, but in a community.
Our goal as Christians is to spread the gospel to other people, and one of the best ways we can do that is by showing other people our love by doing good works. Really, if someone would say, "I love Jesus but not his church," I would say, read the Bible more, really. Try to dive more into God's word and maybe do some studies to like really understand what God is trying to say, because loving his church is like a key thing. Being Christian comes with the responsibility of doing good works, so if we do good works, then we're better Christians, I guess. Loving Jesus comes with the responsibility of loving his church and loving those people in the church. The good news is that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. So, as long as we believe in God, we'll go to heaven and live eternally with him.
And the good news will always be that Jesus is love.
Everyone needs to know that God loves them, and God will forgive them if they ask for forgiveness, no matter what they do.
Thank you.
Yeet! Oh, thank you, Micah. I love that. That is my of the whole thing. Thank you so much, Ethan and or Micah and Audra, for your word and for sharing that with us today. So if you are still in Ephesians, what Micah, can you remind me what pages that was on in the black books? 917? Okay. If you can turn back to Ephesians, follow me back to some scripture here. I'm going to reread chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I remember the first time that I heard that verse. The very first time that I was, like, really paying attention to a sermon, honestly. It was probably somewhere between 2 and 3 years ago. Not quite three, but more than 2 years ago. It was one of the first times that I had really walked into a church. Like, just really been there for the sake of, like, being there. I was invited. I had never really, like, done the whole Christian God thing. 2 to 3 years ago. Okay, that seems so far away to me. But it's so close. Like, sometimes I think about it, and like it was just yesterday that I was hearing that verse for the first time when someone was reading that by grace you've been saved through faith. Not because you did anything, not because you're going to do anything, but because God gave that to you. I remember sitting there and thinking, nah, that's not for me. Like, God's over there doing his own thing, and I'm just gonna keep hanging out over here, because, like, I'm not worthy of that. That's not mine. So I wandered away and away, and I kept walking and running and going as far as I possibly could from the God thing over here. But you see, the thing about God is that when he calls, he's persistent. He's very persistent. When he knocks, he doesn't stop until you open that door. So God kept calling me back to the church. Sunday after Sunday, he put me up in front of everybody. He had me singing his songs. And then a year ago, almost a year ago today, okay, I gave my first sermon. A year after I had, like, just started being in the church, I gave my first sermon. I had an hour to prep this thing, okay? I was in Colorado, and I had flown across the United States, and I was in this place where I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anything that was going on. I was there because I wanted to travel. That's why I went. God called me to this place, but I wasn't paying attention to the call. I was paying attention to the fact that I could go, that I could be somewhere in the mountains and somewhere with oceans and rivers. I still wasn't paying attention to the God part. And I sit with all these people, and we're getting ready to prepare our first, like, message, our first worship service. And they're trying to figure out who on earth is going to do the message part. Like, who's giving the sermon? Because we got to figure that out first. And everybody looks at me. And I'm like, I'm just here. No, thank you. But instead of saying that, instead of saying what I was thinking in my mind, all of the, no, that's not me, no, I can't do this, no, God, what are you thinking? Like, I can't proclaim a word that I don't know, that I don't understand, that I had never came to before. But God did everything else. When I decided to look at these people who I'd never seen before in my life, and I was like, yeah, why not? Like, public speaking is my thing. Like, I do that. Like, let's go. And then it hit me that I didn't know what to talk about. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to talk about? What is this? I actually had just gotten this Bible at the time. It was not quite this beat up and broken. It looked new. It looked unopened. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, like, at all. And God led. And I opened it up. And in all honesty, my first sermon was not on Ephesians, even though it was the first place I turned. When I opened it up, I was like, I remember this verse. I remembered, by grace you've been saved through faith. That is what I remembered. Even though the sermon that I gave wasn't about that, that is why I ran. I ran to, by grace you've been saved, not because of anything you did, not because of anything I could ever possibly do, not because I didn't know anything, not because I could know anything, not because I could seek anything, not because of any of that, but because God gave it to me. And God was like, here you are in this place. This is where I have called you, because sometimes God calls you to do hard, uncomfortable things. And God was like, this is where I'm putting you. This is what we're going to do today. Let me work. And for the first time in forever, I felt something change. And this is the part I want you to pay attention to. Because when it lands on you, you change. The gift that God gives us through his grace is the gift of transformation. It's the gift of, this is who I was, and this is who I'm going to be in Christ. You no longer have to carry your old identity. All of these things you were before. None of that matters. All that matters is that God has taken you and he's been like, here's my gift. This is who I call you to be. And that's it. That's all that matters. And it is a gift of transformation. When God says that you've been saved through grace, by grace through faith, okay? He's saying that this is my grace. This is my gift to you to transform you, to take you from this place over here and move you to me. So what does that mean? How does that relate to It's what we're doing today, and talking about identity and the gift of grace. What does that mean? Well, to receive the good news and to perceive it as good news, you have to hear the bad news first. And the bad news, if you backtrack in Ephesians to the very beginning of chapter 2, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. You were dead. And this isn't like Princess Bride, where you were nearly dead, or almost dead, or only partially half dead. You are 100% dead, like as dead as it possibly gets before God. Before God, you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, the ones you did before God happened, okay? This is the bad news. The bad news is you were dead. You were apart. You were separated. You were alone. The bad part is you were afraid. You were lost. That's the bad news, is that that's where we were. All of us, we've been there. We've been in that place where we're sitting somewhere and someone says something and we're like, okay, that's God. And that's over there. But I'm over here. Okay? I'm just going to do my own thing. We've been there. Everyone's sitting here. Some of us may even still be there today. Some of us sitting here are listening to me talk right now saying, okay, that's God. And he's over there. And I'm going to sit over here. And you know what? That's okay. Because God will wait. God will wait for you. So, in this new identity that we get, it means growth. It means, so you were dead. What do you do if you're dead? Like, what's the opposite of that? It's alive. God gives you life. So instead of being dead, you were dead. You're now alive. You are now together. You are now united. You are now transformed. So what is the purpose of this gift? Why does God change us? Why does he take us from dead to alive? Why does he not make us work for it? Because that's what it says right here when it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. That means you didn't do anything. You didn't earn that. And you can't earn that. So then what's the point? Why do we do what we do? Okay? So the purpose of this gift, the like why, means that there's got to be a reason for the gift. What are we being saved from? Like, why do we need it in the first place? What's the point? What's God saving us from? He's saving us from ourselves, from our sin, from our mistakes, from our wandering, from our, from the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. He saved us from being children of wrath, from children of wild nature. That was the purpose of the gift, was so that we could walk in light and in love and in unity with one another and in generosity and in harmony, rather than chaos and destruction and sin and hurt and anxiety. God gave us this gift to save us from ourselves. So how does it work? So if that's the gift, if the gift is grace, never-ending grace through transformation, and it's the purpose to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin, to save us from all that, how does it work? Like, how do you do that? Like, I want to be saved from hurting and pain. Like, what's my golden ticket? How do I do that? You have faith. That's step number one. There's three steps, by the way. I'll let you know ahead of time. Three important things to walk away with today is step number one. We're going to keep this as simple as possible. Have faith. Step number one, your golden ticket is believe there is one God who exists in you through Christ, through Jesus, okay? It's all connected. God is in you. God is in Jesus. God is God. It's all one big, fantastic circle that is never broken. You are never cut off so long as you have faith. And it doesn't matter how teeny, tiny, microscopically small it is. You simply have to have it. You just have to have faith. Step number one, have faith. Step number two, for the how does this work? You have to acknowledge your sin. You have to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. You make mistakes. You have to acknowledge that you were dead. You have to know where you were before. You have to be able to look inside and notice that you were dead, and now you're alive because of God. And you have to acknowledge the sin that you carried before. Because if you weren't a sinner, let's say that you are the perfect human being, God's gift would have no purpose for you. Jesus would have nothing to offer you. But thankfully, each and every one of us is broken. All of us. All of us are broken. All of us are worn out. All of us are tired. All of us are running. All of us are anxious. We're all separated. We're all lost. We're all dead. So Jesus has something for all of us. He has that grace. He has that forgiveness. You just have to acknowledge your sin and come humbly. And God's grace isn't about second chances. It isn't about, okay, you messed up that one time. Now you never, ever, ever can do that thing that you made a mistake of again. Ever. Because I won't forgive you again. There's no third chances. There's no fourth. God's grace doesn't work like that. God's grace is having so many chances that you can run back to them for an eternity and never run out. Ever. You can make mistake after mistake after mistake, okay? And you can keep going back because God's going to be like, I see my son in you. So here's my forgiveness. Here's my gift of grace, okay? Here's my gift of life. God's grace is when you finally realize that you don't need to keep score. It's when you stop keeping score. It's when you stop tallying how many times you've sinned today. It's like, all right, 10. That's not bad, right? But God's going to look at that 10 and be like, meh, that doesn't matter. Because God doesn't keep score. God doesn't tally anything. He doesn't pay attention to the number of times. He doesn't care. He couldn't care that your score is 20 out of 15. Woohoo, extra credit. God doesn't care if your score is 0 out of 15. God doesn't care if you're in the negatives. God doesn't care about your score. Okay, when it comes to pursuing holiness, all sin is the same to him. And he loves it, and he cares about transforming that sin. He loves seeing broken things and fixing them. He loves taking dead things and making them alive in Christ, in you. So step number one, do you guys remember what it was? Golden ticket, item number one? Faith, have faith. Believe there is one God, and he exists in you, and he exists in everybody else, and it's through Jesus. So golden ticket, item number one, have faith. Say it again. Say it again. All right. Golden ticket item number two, acknowledge your sin. Can I hear you guys say it?
Acknowledge your sin.
All right, golden ticket item number two.
Acknowledge your sin.
Number one?
Faith.
Number two?
Acknowledge your sin.
All right. If you don't remember anything else today, you're just going to remember that I made you repeat everything. So if you'll remember, I said that there were three steps, okay? Golden ticket item number one, have faith. Golden ticket item number two, acknowledge your sin. Golden ticket item number three is the action part. It's the working part. Even though there's nothing we can do to earn anything, we've been adopted into a family. We've been adopted into a household. We still have chores. We still have responsibilities. We can't just like lie on the couch and be like, all right, this is where I live now. That's that's not how being adopted into a household works. So golden ticket item number three is making disciples, which can be really intimidating and really scary, and it is honestly the hardest part of the golden ticket. The hardest part of the golden ticket is sharing the love of Christ. And it seems like it shouldn't be that hard, because like, you just gotta have faith, and you just gotta acknowledge the fact that you were dead, but now you're alive. And like, how exciting is it to be alive? Why wouldn't you want to share that with every single person you meet on the street? Being like, yo, I was dead. I was 100% as dead as it gets. And this awesome God made me alive. Like, why wouldn't you want to share that? Why is it so scary to approach someone and be like, look at what my God did? It's because they don't have the first golden ticket. They don't have the faith part. They're going to look at you and they're going to be like, but science. Or they're going to be like, but I'm just here. Like, it just happens. Like, I don't care. I could care less. You're going to meet people like that. Don't let it tear you down. Because God knows those people. And he's going to bring them the best way that they can be brought. And sometimes, that's not going to be through you. Unfortunately, that's sometimes the hardest thing to do, is just plant the seed, or just kind of throw the seed on the ground and walk away. Like, you don't even do the planting part. Like, you just kind of toss it at them, the little God seed. God does the harvesting for us. This is step number three. The sharing, the taking what we've been given, this amazing gift of life and grace and endless everything through God. It's sharing that. But it's sharing it in a way that you acknowledge that we're all equal. It comes with the acknowledging sin ticket. Because if you'll notice, it says in here, not a result of works, so one may boast, so that no one can boast, because you didn't do anything. So as you're sharing and as you're talking about it, those works that God prepared you to do beforehand, those amazing, good, great things that God has filled you up to do, those are to glorify him. Everything points to God. That first golden ticket, the have faith ticket, everything points to the one. Everything that you do, that's what your good works are. You're not using them for a prize. So you can't boast about all the things you did. You can't look at yourself and be like, all right, I did this awesome good thing today, so I'm super holy right now, and you haven't done anything good today, so you're not. That's not how the good works thing works. It's acknowledging that I did good today, and you did good today too. We did separate good things. And that's how sharing the love of Christ works. It's sharing grace. It's loving people, not the way. So golden rule is usually referred to as treat people the way you want to be treated, right? Which occasionally becomes treat people the way you think they deserve to be treated because of the way they treat you. But that's not how the third ticket works. That's not how sharing the love of Christ works. Sharing the love of Christ means treating people the way God treats you. It means that endless grace, that endless gift of grace that God gives you, you should extend that out to everyone else. It means that the endless love that he fills you up with, you extend that out to everyone else. It means that the endless desire to seek out the people who are lost and broken and shattered. It means that you seek them out abundantly. It means that you are zealous for them. It means that you have this faith, okay? And it's amazing. And you're like, I have this, and I want everyone else to have it. Because it's amazing to think that I was dead. I was 100% as dead as it got. I wanted to be dead. And God takes you and says, I give you life. Here you are in this spot over here. And that old stuff, that old messy stuff that you carried around, it doesn't matter. You can wash it off. You can let it go. You can rest in knowing that he is God and you are not. Knowing you've been saved by grace, by endless, abundant grace that you can run back to for an eternity and never come up empty. Endless grace that transforms you, that takes you from death to life. You can run to that always. It takes you from dead to alive. I keep saying that because it's amazing to think that go from two completely extreme polar ends of a life. This place where everything sucks. Everything is dark. Everything is heavy. Everything is cold. Everything, it just brings you to here. And honestly, until you're here and you're on your knees, and where else are you supposed to go? How are you supposed to get anywhere if you're on your knees? How are you supposed to move? Where am I going? What do I do? I don't know. I'm lost and I'm confused and I don't know what to do. So I'm going to sit here until someone comes and gets me. And that's what God does. He sees that you're sitting and that you're on your knees and that you're lost and that you're broken. And he finds someone and he puts people in your life. This is the relational part. You'll notice in the video that they talked about how we were created to be relational creatures. And it's part of the third ticket. It's part of the sharing the love of Christ. Your ticket is someone else. It's the people that come into your life that see you on the ground. They see you stuck. They see you lost. They see you not going anywhere. They see you dead. And God sends them with his grace. And he says, take my hand. Get up. Wipe your eyes. Dry your tears. Because you are alive now. You're standing. I gave you legs. And you can walk and you can go places now and you can take that first golden ticket and run with it and share it with everyone because I have given you endless grace and I prepared it for you beforehand so that you can walk in it easily and flawlessly and move with confidence in the path that I have prepared for you to walk in. Because I did it before everything, I knew that you would be there, is what God says. God says, I knew that you would be at the bottom. So I prepared to bring you back up to the top with me. I prepared to give you life. I prepared to bring you transformation through me. And it's only through first golden ticket, have faith. First golden ticket,
have faith.
All right, second golden ticket. Good job. I'm glad you guys remembered that one. We didn't repeat it as much. So second golden ticket, acknowledge your faith. Words are hard. Do it over again. First golden ticket, have faith. Second golden ticket, acknowledge your sin. And the third golden ticket, make disciples. I don't care how you say it. Share the love. Make disciples. Have friends. Be social. Don't hide in a cave. The third ticket is being relational. It's being together. It's being in the church. It's being with people, whether that's one person other than yourself or if it's 1,000 people other than yourself. That's the third ticket. So what does that mean? What does that mean for you? What does that mean? What does that mean for us? It means that we have a new identity. We have a new community. It means that who God calls you to be is more powerful than who you feel you are. Because of God's grace, because of his gift of grace, who he calls you to be is more powerful than you, than the person you ever feel you are, than you ever feel you could be. In a place without God. through God's grace, through your faith, as you share his love everywhere. It's why we do what we do. It's why we're relational. The good news of is that through Jesus, through God's grace, you are alive. You are transformed. Jesus is for you. It means that every single time you mess up, every single time, no matter how bad it is, no matter any of that, if you were to put it on a graph, you would look at sin and you would make this one a little taller than this one. And you'd make this one like super tall and then you'd make this one a little shorter. And God would look at that same graph and all of it would be the same size. Every single square would be the same. So every time you mess up, no matter what it is, no matter what it looks like, God is going to look at you and he's going to see Jesus because of Christ in you. Because by grace, through faith, you have been saved. As a gift from God, not because of anything you could do, so that no one can boast, so that everything you do points to God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Will you pray with me? Hey, God. Thank you so much for today and for this space, for the opportunity to be transformed, for the opportunity to have been dead and be given life through your grace. Thank you so much for endless, boundless grace, that no matter how many times we mess up, no matter what kind of ways we mess up, you're always going to look at us and have nothing but forgiveness, nothing but grace, nothing but mercy. So my prayer as we go into the rest of the service and prepare to leave today is that you help us hold ourselves to a standard of grace rather than perfection. That you remind us that so long as we have faith and acknowledge that we don't do anything to earn that, that as long as we have faith and acknowledge that we're broken and we need you, that as long as we share that with everyone else, God, you are great. You are incredibly wonderful, God. I pray that you send us forward transformed, just a little, just one small piece, God. Transformation through you and your grace and your love, bringing us from death to life through your gift, God. You are amazing. You are amazing, God. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.